but he cheated. He took PEDs. So what? They want their money. They don't care who you are.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, shout out to our guy Steve in Santa Rosa. Goo, I want to ask you this. And by the way, in about 10 minutes, we'll have our former 49ers who we play for game coming up at 12 o'clock.
Can't wait, baby.
I can't either.
I'm going to go 0-2, but anyway, I'm going to have fun with
it. Well, I got eight guys who used to play for the 49ers in recent years. I separated them by difficulty. The guys, I think you're going to get down to some tough ones.
All right.
So we're going to figure out if you can find out who we play for. And you have a list for me?
Yeah, but I only have three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my bad.
No. You're all good. All right. I want to see if Ken can get some of these, too.
Yeah, Kenny.
We got Chase in here also.
Real quick, our buddy Carter texted us, said we forgot a Dolly Parton song.
Islands? Yeah, he texted me, too.
How does that go? Islands.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know that
Come
one
on, Kenny, help us.
Islands in the sun. Da-na-da-na-da. Da-da-da-da-da.
A banger?
They did a, what's his name? Old Dirty. And
come on.
Was it Maya?
Yeah.
They did like that, where we can love.
I got to check it out. Dolly in the caddy on the way home.
Oh, got to.
I just have her movies,
Wait,
man.
I thought you were in a rental car.
No, I didn't get it.
So
I got
to
wait.
What happened to the caddy?
The paperwork's slow. I'm still in it. Driving with no.
But I thought the car was needed some help.
No, it's just, Evan, I got a dent in the back.
Oh. Okay.
And then I got no mirror driver's side. So I'm out here, dude. You never know how much you licked in that thing until it's gone. Evan, I'm rubbernecking like, man. What are you laughing at?
I just want you to be safe, man. Yeah. I just want you to be okay on the road.
I believe you. Okay, that's sincere.
Well, I noticed, it's you're driving a little slower now, so that's a good thing. Got to be safer.
Well, actually, I'm not. When I'm on the freeway, I'm in the fast lane, so I don't have to use that mirror, if you know what I mean.
Islands in the Stream is the full name of the song.
Islands?
Yeah, and it's Ghetto Superstar was with the Old Dirty and Maya song.
All right.
Was he chewing?
Same tune.
The real Blue Chew. Oh,
yeah, thanks for chewing on
chew.
My bad.
Man.
All right, Goo. Let me ask you this about the Niners. Do you think they're hanging on, or do you think they're primed?
Now, when you say hanging on to what? An opportunity to win it all?
Well, some people might consider him a contender. Like, if you assume health for this team, do you think they can contend?
I think they can make the playoffs and do what they did last year, win a game. But if I think they're hanging on competing with the Rams in Seattle. That's just how I feel, man. I really feel like, and again, you did one thing that they hope over there in Santa Clara that you are right on, that they get health. But even with health, I think it's going to be a bear to surpass Seattle and the Rams. So to answer your question, yeah, I do think they're hanging on, looking at it through that prism.
Because you asked me before the show, all right, if you play four games against Los Angeles and Seattle this year, how many games can the Niners win? And I think going 2-2 like last year would be,
man,
that'd be a good result. Because last season, they lost three games out of the division the entire year.
But the Rams have added. I mean, Myles Garrett, just that part. McDuffie, the other guy I'm forgetting, like, oh, my God, they were already good. Now it's like, watch out, Jack.
Yeah, look, the Rams are scary.
And you got them week one.
Yes, you do. That might be the time to play them, though.
Interesting. But if you have Bosa and Kittle.
That's true. You know, I do think the Niners will be close to fully healthy, but hopefully this year can move in, I guess you could call it a reverse fashion to last. Last year, every single week they were losing somebody, it felt like.
No doubt.
And by the end of the year, you're kind of just crawling to the finish line. You know, can this season they get guys back over the course of the year and be at full strength by the end of the season? I think that's a question I have about the group as well is, you know, are they going to be cautious with Bosa or with Kittle?
Don't say McCaffrey because you came for me on that one. Well, you're like, blitz!
if he gets hurt, he's going to sit. But my point is, if he's on the field,
use him.
I think he's going to get he's going to get run. Look, maybe Kalen Black is able to, like, he's looked good in preseason. The joint practices
have
been impressive.
Pile.
Yeah, he's a physical runner. That's what he was at Indiana. I think people just had a problem with maybe with where he was drafted.
No doubt.
More than the actual player itself. But maybe the Niners are right. You know, the other part about it, too, is they haven't given us a ton of confidence that the choices they've made in the draft are the correct ones. So if, let's say, the Philadelphia Eagles or the Seattle Seahawks made a selection of Kalen Black in the third round, and a lot of people had him as a, I don't know, fifth or sixth round grade, to me, those front offices get the benefit of the doubt because they've hit on guys in the draft. Where if you're the Niners, I think a lot of fans read, oh, you reach for this guy, you reach for that dude. Well, this kind of fits because nobody really has popped over the last few seasons from our rookie classes. They have a chance to correct that.
Yeah, but Kyle, to that point, Kyle's his own, and I got to give him credit here, genius in the sense that when you just, and for the sake of this discussion, I'll just talk about the receivers. Brandon Ayuk, I was like, who the hell? What the hell? Ricky Pearsall, same thing, E. Now, you can fight me, and I'm not trying to start a fight because I understand Niner fans out there, like, those are two misses, Goo. And I'm not saying they were wins, but if you could take a step back, it's kind of nuanced, and say those dudes popped in regard to Kyle saw something that could translate to the NFL, and I know my guy West Oakland Holloway won't let me live down the Pearsall being dynamic, but when Pearsall was healthy, he made plays. So it kind of, I was like, oh, okay, Kyle, you keep that benefit of the doubt because I saw what you saw in the young dude. Couldn't stay healthy. And the same with Ayuk, and I bring that up because Stripling might be the next, and he might be the best of them.
Well, I think the problem is they kind of need him to be. I
mean, that's the other part.
They need him to be special. Let me ask you, last season, from just the offense, who were the guys that you thought provided the most juice when they were on the field? Because I think you just mentioned one of them.
Yeah, Pearsall for sure.
Yeah.
And that's why it was so just frustrating that he wasn't out there. Obviously, McCaffrey. And you're going to laugh. What if I told you Tonjes?
Well, it's funny you say that because Tonjes, 26 years old, Pearsall, 25 years old. You might even throw Sky Moore on there as 25.
I hated these guys.
I'm just saying, special teams, that was they had some of the most explosive plays from Sky Moore last year. Christian McCaffrey, his longest carry last season was 41 yards. His longest play from scrimmage last year, I think, was 41 yards. His longest reception was 39. Like, they don't have, even among their old players, a guy who can still break one. And
how about Mike Evans? Because he can beat one-on-one coverage, but where do you have him on your, like, I can see it right now, but I'm not saying he's Randy Moss or Jerry Rice.
Well, I don't think of Mike Evans as a deep threat anymore, but he's hopefully going to be a guy that can help you make contested catches.
And he
can
get behind
James,
though, yeah.
Well, he's big enough to go up and get it.
The 50-50 balls, like, that's his thing to me.
And that's going to give Brock Purdy a different dimension. But it's funny, like, I think of Stripling as being more of a game-breaking player than Mike Evans. No,
and that starts week one against the Rams. He's that young, what did Baldy say, juice? But this is what he's supposed to do. Real quick, hashtag random. Mm-hmm. How many touchdowns on the year for McCaffrey last year, if you have it?
17 total.
Man.
10 rushing, 7 receiving.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Juwan Jennings and George Kittle were the next two. Juwan Jennings, well, actually, I don't want to say he's a part of our game coming up, but
yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, and then
Juwan Jennings.
George Kittle had 7 in 11 games. He was Purdy's number one red zone target, and kind of has been.
What if I told you another hashtag random? It bothers me in a way that it's not a big deal. Why do I hate Stripling wearing 15? It's like because I just think I default to Jennings and his great catches, great hands. But I'm like, youngster, you're supposed to have your own number. We get it. Like,
it's a difficult situation.
You know,
you're going
it's just me.
Are you going Jaden Daniels on?
Well, no, he's not. I just, but you said maybe
he
wore 15.
Number 5. Can't wear number 15.
Dude, I mean, no, I'm not that. It's just.
With all due respect to Juwan Jennings, that number can go to somebody else.
No, it can, and it did, but. I kind of wanted Stringland to have his own, you know? And I guess he's like, Goo, I got 15, but.
Would you want him to wear 88?
How about Single? Didn't you say he was one in college?
Well, Debo's back.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, I forgot. Well, yeah, Debo's one.
Did Ken say he was number one in college?
He was number one in college and number seven, I believe, in high school. So I don't know who number seven is.
Yeah, 50. I get it. It's just me.
I like it. He's forging a new path.
There you go.
For the 925, it's fair asking about what Pearsall's done, confused about the assertion that he's dynamic. He was dynamic when he was on the field against Seattle week one last year. The problem is he just isn't on the field enough. Speaking of George Kittle, before we get to our game at 12 o'clock, Brian Baldinger was asked, was he activated too early? Only 8 months between the point where he tore his Achilles and potentially is on the field against the Rams. Here's what Baldy had to say.
Well, I've just been around the league. I've seen Patrick Mahomes come back from a major knee surgery. You can't tell that he had surgery. So I feel like some of it is modern medicine. Some of it is rehab. Some of it is the way the players are wired, you know, as far as the rehab process and how hungry they are to get back. So it doesn't surprise me that George is in that category of the two guys I just mentioned. And you just talk to the trainer in Kansas City about what Mahomes did. You know, these guys attack things differently than maybe some of us did in the past. They want to get back there on the field. So it doesn't surprise me. I kind of I watched Daniel Jones run. You can't tell that he had any surgery. I watched Mahomes for 3 hours one day a couple weeks ago. You couldn't tell. So I'd kind of like to see what George looks like if you can tell.
Wow. And we'll be able to tell, you know?
We should be. I mean, that's why I
felt – just about when.
Well, I felt better about Kittle than I did about Nick Bosa.
No doubt about it, and especially now that I, you know, read that Tafer piece in The Athletic. Like, man. And I know a lot of people were – you know, talking about it's not a big deal with this tendonitis or Dr. Pangea, you know, on Twitter, like this is to be, I'm not speaking for him, like this comes with that, you know, surgery. And I'm like, okay, but you don't want to get anything that's arthritic or like the tendonitis that Dibs always talks about that comes of age, it's going nowhere. It's with you for life.
Yeah. No, that's... Like, it is a big concern. It's also his second ACL tear on the same leg.
I hate that for him.
We're not sure how he's going to respond. All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. All right, you ready, Goo?
Let's do it.
All right, we were talking about this earlier in the week. Yeah, last weekend, too. Who he play for. So, do you want to set this up? Because you have a couple guys.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first or you want to go after me?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So somebody can get it wrong and then I'll feel, yeah, I'll be cool. All right. I probably gave you a layup.
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
But this guy was a former safety for the Niners. His name is George Odom. Safety.
Well, I do know who George Odom is. I do not know who he plays for. Does he play for?
You're going to guess it. I already...
The Saints?
Great guess. I'll give you three guesses. No.
The Jags.
No.
The Cardinals?
No. Great try, Evan. The Houston Texans.
Wow.
With D'Amico Ryan.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I just started guessing old coordinators for the Niners.
Why do I feel good like you got it wrong first? All right, I'm ready for you.
I don't know if that was a layup. Oh, my turn now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to start easy. I kind of mentioned him before as we were talking about it. Jawan Jennings.
Oh, come on, E.
Where does he play?
Come on. Like, I don't like that. That hurts my brand.
Well, they're supposed to be easy at first, and no, then
I want
a
more
tougher.
Difficult one.
Well, where does he play?
I want him in Minnesota.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, the Vikings.
Guru can read.
I'm not going to give you the hardest one first.
All right, Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd is an Arizona Cardinal.
I got him Chicago Bears.
Oh, he's on the Bears now?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Right. Hey, Kenny, double check that for me. Leonard Floyd. I got him on the Bears. The way you said it, I was like, I got it wrong.
I think he was on the Cardinals He was on the Cardinals last season. Okay.
All right. Give it, like, the Jawan Jennings. Like, come on.
All right.
On.
What about Charvarius Ward?
Oh, T. Ward is in South Beach, Miami.
He is not. He's on the team that he was, I think he was on last year too, the Indianapolis Colts.
Damn.
Yeah. We're not doing very well in the game here.
I'm in trouble.
You got more than me. All right, so
give me
one
more. Yeah.
All right. Javon Kinlaw, Niners legend.
I know he was with Washington, but he's not with Washington because you wouldn't have asked me.
Or am I?
Evan, I'm going to Minnesota. He's with the Vikings.
He is still with the Washington Commanders.
So do I get half a point?
Well, you knew where he was. Yeah, I'll give it to you. All right, let me get one more in before we go to your final one. Because I got four randos at the end here.
See, and that's what I did. I had two randos for you. That's all I did was two.
Well, I started looking at a couple teams, and these are all from within the last few years. Okay. So these guys are still in the league.
Boy, the chat's getting it wrong, too.
Javon Hargrave.
Well, that would put him...
Former $80 million signee by the San Francisco 49ers.
I'm going to say he's in Miami.
He is in Green Bay.
That is just sad.
I didn't know that.
I didn't play Madden this year
either. When I looked it up, I had no clue that he was a Packer.
Dude, why do you keep saying Miami, man? They're dumping everybody.
Oh, man.
All right, do you want to get your last one out of the way?
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying you want to give your last player. Is it D Winters?
What? You looked at my list.
No, I didn't. I just assumed.
D Winters.
He's on your favorite team. He's a Cowboy. He's a Dallas Cowboy.
Damn. Oh. I didn't like that. I had Kenny on that one.
Yeah, that was the one that Kenny. By the way, D. Winters technically was the fastest player in the Niners last year, so they got older and slower.
No, you got Stribling now, but you're talking about at that position.
Yeah, I'm saying with Dre Greenlaw.
Hey, how were the Niners at the...
The greatest linebacker. But
let's talk about after Warner, since we're talking linebackers, and after Greenlaw, what do the Niners have that excite you? Like, I feel like it's up for grabs. I know Nick Martin has a pulse, but I'm just like, man, when is somebody going to pop after those two?
For the San Francisco 49ers? Well, they got Duggar. Jaden Duggar. I mean, he's looked good in preseason. That would be my guess, is kind of the backup will at this point. I don't know if Nick Martin is really much of a factor.
Man.
Hey, guys, I got some for you if you want. What? How about Isaiah Pacheco?
Was he a 49er?
Isaiah Pacheco was with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Where is he now?
Okay.
Oh, well, I guess
we're going back. We're doing randos. Yeah, I'm going back to randos.
I have four more from the Niners.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
Isaiah Pacheco. I don't know. The Dolphins.
I know where he's at. Baltimore.
The Chargers.
Green Bay.
Bears.
Detroit.
Okay. Damn it, I was... All right. Yeah, come on.
All right, we're going to dig back into former 49ers for a second here. Joshua Dobbs.
That's my guy.
The Pastronaut.
He is in Arizona.
He was.
Where is he now?
He's with the Detroit Lions.
Oh, God damn it.
I guess Kenny saw him in preseason. Is that where you also saw Pacheco?
I don't think Pacheco played, but yeah.
All right. This guy had a... massive moment for the Niners in the 2024 season. Dropped a potential pass to set up a game-winning field goal against the Rams in Week 3. Ronnie Bell.
Boy, that's a blast from the past, but what's up, Ronnie? I got Ronnie, Kansas City.
The New Orleans Saints.
Austin, you guys are bad. Please.
I mean, these are pretty tough. I did not know where these guys went. All right, two more. This guy had a big moment in the 2023 Super Bowl. Many forget it. Ray McCloud.
Always liked him, and I think he's with the Falcons.
I know you like him, but he plays for the Bears. And then finally, you guys caught up with this guy during Super Bowl week. He is acquaintance of yours from the town, Josh Johnson.
My man, Headache. That's his gamer tag.
Where does he play?
On PlayStation.
He's been on 12 teams, I think.
Tampa Bay.
The Washington Commanders.
Steel! On the Commanders. My bad, James.
Shout out to the town, man. All right. God, they're a bunch of random players,
that was,
man.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Are there ones that you felt like you should have known? You got D Winters. That was a layup.
What was the first one you gave me that I missed?
George Odom.
Yeah, George Odom. That one actually made a lot of sense. I think I did remember him on D'Amico's defense. Yeah, George Odom was
Leonard Floyd was with the Bears.
Yeah, that one I didn't know.
Now I had a couple that was their stop prior to their new stop.
Yes.
So if we did who we played for, I would have been in the past. I'd have been okay.
Well, the one that kind of surprised me a bit was Javon Hargrave, because the Packers are actually legit.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, I guess Jennings in Minnesota with Kyler might have a pretty decent season.
And that was the only one I got.
Jeez. Charvarius Ward. Well, a couple of them, they're sort of trick questions.
Yeah.
Haven't moved on in a year, you know. But
I liked it.
See, like, I feel as if that's a game that Steiny would love just on his terms.
Right.
You know.
Even if he got him wrong, he still would. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it wouldn't be about current players. It'd be about, like, former players.
Now, what if I asked about former safety Jimmy Ward, who I brought up last week?
Jimmy Ward. I mean, my guess would be...
This isn't fair.
He's not in Houston anymore. Would it be
jail.
It'd be Tennessee?
He's a free agent.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you can't. Come on. We'd be here all day. I got you. Dude, not on a team.
All right. Well, actually, this is a cleanup on Isle Goo.
I asked
from the 925, Leonard Floyd is not in Chicago, boys. Where is he?
I had Kenny look it up.
Where is Leonard Floyd? He was on the Falcons last year. He was with Raheem Morris's defense.
Seems like he's a free agent right now.
Yeah, he was last with the Falcons.
Oh, boy.
We still got it wrong. Now, no, I got him right here on the Bears. Looking at him.
He was drafted in the first round by the Bears, I think.
Last year, Leonard Floyd. And they were talking about bringing him back. So I got all the info.
Okay, now I just want to make sure we got our 2016.
Yeah, bring them
first round by the Bears.
But you still got it wrong.
No, you're right. I did. I got that one wrong. He's a free agent. You had three free agents on your list. Oh, man. All right, Gil. Are you okay?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I be?
I'm just checking on you.
That was great.
I know. We should play these games more often.
Well, I've got to get my questions right.
Well, you can have Ken fact check your work.
I asked him, and he...
Well, I was doing other stuff back here. I'm sorry.
And just like
that, Jake Moody play, Goo?
He got released.
He did.
He was in Washington, I think.
I think he tried out for Atlanta.
The Falcons? Yeah, I don't think he's on a team. He had a really bad preseason. All right, Goo. Coming up next, we'll get off these games. Get a little back. Oh, you wanted to talk about one of your favorite players.
I'm in timeout.
Okay, all right. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to regroup here at the commercial break. Come back on the other side on Steiny and Goo.
It's always about the show, bro.
It's the Guru, Steiny, Guru, Steiny, Guru, Steiny Show. Let's go.
All right, Evan Ginnings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Steiner!
A couple things to update you on. The Warriors did indeed make a move earlier today when they signed Brandon Williams to a $2.6 million deal. The Golden State Valkyries got their first ever win over the Minnesota Lynx last night. 80-66. The Giants even got a win, 5-0 against the Reds last night. Against
Devers
their ace, by
deep.
The way.
Yeah.
So, wait, he's got 27 home runs?
Man, if you hadn't seen the season, I mean, dude, this dude might hit 40. I asked you and Kenny. Nah, that's a stretch.
Well, 40's a lot.
Yeah. 13 away.
He's quietly had a decent season.
Why are you giving me that look?
What? Just,
I'm just saying.
He's been the poster child for the entire
his business.
Last year and a half, basically, yeah. How bad they've been.
Does this Feels change like if you thought they wanted to come off him for clubhouse stuff, if I was correct, like he ain't a team guy, but now you're looking at these gaudy numbers, this is what you brought him in for, does that change for you?
Well, all I know is last night, Rafael Devers was playing alongside Drew Kavanaugh, Nate Furman, Shea Whitcomb, well, Grant McCray, and Christian Koss.
Wow.
And he's played in every game.
I was like, who's this? Who's this at the bat? Who's this? Man. And they won.
Yeah, I mean, they won a game. They're,
I got you.
They're still absolutely.
They just got swept. I hear you.
Well, look, they're a terrible baseball team. They're 53-78. But
man.
I do think that Devers, it's kind of funny. Like, this is about the time where people, and understandably so, have just tuned out. Like, they're not interested in what they're doing. But in a weird way, it feels like Rafael Devers is using this time to settle in.
No doubt about it. At 27 bombs, I'm like, when it's all said and done, for the people who didn't see you, would be like, well, he's not the problem, and I'm just watching to me, and right now he's raking, man. He just is.
Well, they're doing what you wanted them to do, right, with the first base position. He's pretty much become the full-time DH, and Eldridge, although he was
bereavement.
Yeah, he wasn't there last night. I believe his grandfather passed away, so thoughts and prayers to the Eldridge family. But he's getting most of the reps at first.
Man, and I'll just say this. Is this one of those scenarios to where we see in the NBA or just in sports in general, teams out of it, they hadn't been in it, and Evan gets his numbers at the end, nothing to see here, or there is something to see here? Because you kind of said it, you know, set up for me on a tee in regard to if you wanted to do something with Devers, does this change? But, man, this looks like the dude that they traded for. And even last year to the point, he when it was all said and done, the dust settled, he was around where he normally is.
I mean, I guess I wonder if you're on the side of the fence that you just want to get off this guy, that you're trying to maybe it's clear a runway for Eldridge, or just because the record is what it is and you are basically 30 games below 500, if not more, since you acquired him. Can this guy do anything at this point? You know, sometimes players in the eyes of their fan bases, there's a point of no return. It doesn't matter how you perform. You know, is Devers hitting a home run off of Chase Burns last night and going 2-for-4 with 3 RBI? Is that going to change anything for a lot of people? No, but the sample size is pretty much where it was last year.
And that's what I guess I'm saying, and I might have to check myself because I'll definitely tell you this, Evan. If I thought he was a problem, he's at the bottom of the list because through it all, he's going to show you he's going to end up with his numbers. And right now, if I ask you what ails the Giants, right now anybody, including myself, saying Devers would be a fool looking at what's on the paper and what he's putting up. And what if that 27 is 35 RBIs with 35 homers with 90 RBIs? I'm just saying, like, he's got time to do that. We can say maybe, you know, I got it wrong saying that he needs to be on the first thing smoking. Up out of here.
Yeah, and I think there's still a lot we don't know about Devers' personality. I think he's kind of portrayed as maybe more introverted, and certainly the incident in Miami made it feel like he's a self-centered type of athlete. But I got to tell you, if Devers was a truly selfish guy, I don't think he would be playing.
Mm.
I mean, Adames is hurt with an elbow. Chapman shut down. Kenny and I were looking at the opening day lineup from earlier this year for the Giants. There's only two guys right now that are available for them that were in that opening day lineup, and one of them is Rafael Devers.
No, I got to give him credit for that, man. And you're right. He could have called the dogs off, but he's putting up his numbers. And now I'm like, damn, Evan, if you tell me they could get a king's ransom for Devers and this team doesn't think they could compete next year and Buster gets another opportunity to build the bullpen or go out and get some arms – I'm not saying Cy Young arms, but, I mean, where are they now in your mind? Do you look at this if you're in the Giants front office and say, give me a do-over. I'm going to try to get some more starting pitching and fix this bullpen. But what Devers is doing, are you like, we got a chance offensively, or are you so far? Because, dude, I didn't recognize more than half the lineup last night.
Yeah, and they won the game.
But that's not reality, yeah.
No, but that team is not – going to compete. A team with those kind of guys just can't, it can't happen.
But I'm like going into next year when guys, you know, you got your Chapmans back and Adames's.
I mean, look, I don't know what they want to do with Adames. I think he is more of a problem to me than Devers, though, just because he's not a very good shortstop. I don't think he hits well enough to make up for the other deficiencies in his game. You know, for Devers, if he's going to become a full-time DH, his value diminishes a bit, but he's the best hitter in your lineup.
Yeah.
For some people, that's not good enough. But I just think it's interesting that, you know, at about the time when people stop caring, and who knows, pressure's off, he's going out there, he's swinging freely, he is available every single day, and maybe the, you know, the pressure being off him has allowed him to, I think he had a 900 OPS in August, he's got five home runs now in the month of, in the month of July, he had a 900 OPS, he's got five home runs here in the month of August. It's like, if he ends up with 32 home runs, the RBI numbers don't mean as much to me because the offense around him is not very good.
Right.
But he's got a 810 OPS, which is about what he had last year with the Giants in the 91 games he played. He's exactly the same guy offensively. Like, that to me is not a problem. You traded for him to be ideally better, but...
But damn, he's been heating
he's
up.
He's your best bet. That's why it's... You know, you're trying to sit here and solve problems in August for next season. It's tough to do. But I don't know if getting rid of Devers is going to lead you down a quick path
and
back
to the
top.
And I was panicking as they continue to lose games. And I put it, again, I said it was personal and it was my opinion. But I put a lot of stuff, you know, Evan, at his doorstep about what's wrong with this team and why they're 53-78. But, man, it seems like I'm being unfair, and this dude is doing exactly what you talked about, the numbers on the back of the baseball card. And last year they were 81-81, and I'm just saying you thought maybe they had an opportunity, but this year is different. But maybe sometimes the best move is not to make a move at all. And I know Buster said they took calls on every player. I wonder if that's changing his opinion about, you know what, we got problems here, but Devers ain't one of them.
No, if you're telling me you could turn him into a frontline arm and a good bullpen guy, that's something you might consider because you also can get off of a ton of money. I just, it's interesting watching teams sometimes that are completely out of it and trying to figure out what to make of it.
Because that's what they are right now.
The Giants are, I think, a bottom four team in baseball in terms of their record. They're 25 games under 500. People are probably wondering why they're even getting time on the radio. But Devers, in spite of all of that, is still going out there every single night. And to me, that's worth, to me, in a way, that's his job, yes. But again, if he's somebody that really is all about Rafi, I don't know why he would be playing right now. Him and Jung Hoo Lee don't have to be in the lineup.
That's their job, though. You got to love ball, right?
Yeah, but you could fake an injury. Yeah. You could ask for a day off. You know, it's like, you know, you were the one who brought up the relationship between Vitello and Devers, and if it's untenable going into next year, it's like, is that something that still bothers you, or you worry about at this stage?
Well, if he keeps this up, Devers, and this is what I thought he was and why I got so excited when he came in the first place, like, I would choose him over the manager. You know what I mean? That's where this thing is headed in regard to his numbers this year and what he is. But if I got that wrong and my intel was wrong and there's nothing going on with him and Vitello, and at some juncture I'm going next year, you start over. I mean, this dude, you just said it, is your best hitter, Evan, and it's not even close right now. Power, ability to take walks, and I know he's striking out, 144 on the season? But that's baseball this year. Like, I am blown away he didn't kind of tap out. And now if I'm Devers, that's the last thing I want to do. And if I could get 27 to 33 or 34 and shut the gurus up of the world that were out on me, I mean, man, maybe the best thing is that money you owe him to where he was hard to move at the deadline.
Well, and this
if you tried.
That's true. And this is from the 510.
Because I'm like, damn,
now that Rafi's on a heater, the offseason's the time to trade him. From the 415. Glad he's putting up numbers when the team's out of it so someone can trade for him. Maybe that's what they do in the offseason.
Right.
You know, for me, with a guy like Devers, he's not a perfect player. I think he still doesn't really have a position. His bat isn't what it used to be. I think he's below his career numbers overall. And you're right, he still strikes out a lot. But
he's why I'm watching now.
It's almost like he's pretty good quarterback on a bad team. Like, the win-loss record always gets attributed to quarterbacks, and sometimes I think it's unfair. And it's tough because Devers has not impacted winning since he got to the Giants.
Is that fair to say that's all
but
him?
But it's also not all on him. That's what is blatantly clear watching some of these games. You know, last night he helped them win, and I'm not saying you can do that every game, but it's like he is not the biggest problem with the San Francisco Giants, even though I think he's framed a lot of the time as such.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, and I'm not hating on Tony Vitello, but I just brought it up. I mean, again, Devers is Devers. You'd be like, what's all the fuss about? But at this point, Evan, there's no way now I can pick the manager over him. If you kind of, I'm on that street. Like, this dude's a bat. He's a thumper. Not perfect. But, man, if we are correct, if I am, and there's something going on with him and Vitello, and by all accounts, we don't know outside of that Miami issue. But all season long, people have been banging the drum. Their veterans don't respect him. But the veterans look like they're going to be here next year again. So if that were the case and it was that bad, then maybe I'll do something drastic. But right now, I'm just telling you, man. Devers is – I'm taking him over Vitello.
Wow. Well, I think there's a way that they can coexist. You know,
and there may be nothing there. Outside of that Miami, you know, issue, that was it.
Yeah. You know, that's true. There could be. I don't know. I just remember when we came in that day, everybody was hot at Devers.
And they were right to have done that.
That's true. Because
at that point, I didn't know if he wanted out. I mean, just that, you know, getting away from, like, damn, why are you so angry?
Because he wanted to stay in the game.
Yeah, but they asked you to pinch run.
Yeah, I think that Devers is...
It wasn't pinch hit, it was pinch run. Come on, bud.
Yeah, in a one-run game, you're not very fast. Oh, he's been legging out those doubles, Goo.
Yeah, he's in the best shape on the team. Remember we had that caller.
Really?
Remember he said that? The best physique, the caller... They're like, yeah. I'm like, miss me.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. I think that there is a middle ground that we can find. I think there's a way that you can start to turn this team over to Tony Vitello that also includes Rafael Devers. Or is that an impossible task to you?
No, it's not. The premise is what I have. They turned it over when they announced he was going to be the skipper. So now we're acting like 162 didn't happen and I'm asking, he was just learning on the job. Like, I don't think you grow into that. You get that once you arrive, or you don't.
I think learning on the job, what you just said, is exactly what he's been doing. Because he's never done the job before. He's been a great college head coach. He's never been a Major League Baseball manager. So I think he has been learning on the job. And hopefully next year, that can get you back to where you need to be, which is closer at least to 500. But all I'm saying is, if you are going to set Tony Vitello up to succeed more than you did this year, bullpen is paramount.
Oh, my God. I just can't believe
pitching
it was missed.
As a whole has to be better. And
Buster tried. And I'm not saying
did he?
Well.
Did he really try?
I'm looking at Hauser coming in and out the bullpen now.
He's starting tonight.
Well, yeah, but it's just that he even – that was a job description for a little bit. It's like, yikes, that's not how – I'm sure Buster drew it up on the chalkboard.
No, he signed a couple of one-year guys, and one of them he traded to a team that he's actually pitching pretty well for. I tell him all he's helping the Braves.
And you know what gets me is Dusty Baker, Bruce Bochy, and Ron Washington are all there to kind of not pitch in, but, you know, help old young Tony Vitello. We hadn't heard much of that lately.
So do you think they're not?
I think it's too big of an ask. I don't even know what the question would be now at this point.
Well, the question would be is, are Bruce Bochy and Dusty Baker there to help Tony Vitello?
It doesn't look like it right from this vantage point, because I would have thought both of those after the dust up in Miami, at least Evan, the next day, he would have been out the lineup just to send a message.
I mean, I don't think that's their job, though, to step in and say, this is what I would do. You know, as much as they were far greater managers in their day when they were in the dugouts.
Then what would you say their job is? Because I thought it was to help Tony in crucial situations.
They're
and
consultants.
I thought that was one.
I think they're consultants, what they're special advisors, and that's exactly what they are. When they're asked to provide their input, they do that. But I don't think Bruce Bochy and Dusty Baker want to involve themselves in the day to day. I don't think they want to get in between Rafael Devers and Tony Vitello. That's not their jobs anymore. They've been there. They've done that. They've won championships.
But I'll admit this: you could put this on my tombstone, man. I had this team winning 90 games. That was bad. Because they might lose that or more.
Well, they will lose 90 games.
Yeah. Take it to the bank.
They might lose 100 games.
Wow.
This was from earlier, pardon me, this was from last week, actually. Ken just gave me this piece of sound. This is from Dylan Smith, who closed out the game last night, was talking about his relationship with Rafael Devers.
Yeah, I feel like our relationship is pretty special. I mean, we hang out quite often. You know, we talk about the game of baseball. We talk about the highs and the low moments of what goes on in this game. You know, every day you're not going to have your best stuff, but how do you come prepared the next day, you know, to come out there and be better and to handle the situation better? And I feel like talking to a hitter that's been in these moments for years, you know, and that's been a really good ball player, I feel like you learn from those players, and it helps you as a player grow with your mental side and with your, you know, your playing ability.
So it sounds like he's helping.
No, that's not bad. I like that. We'd like more of it, and maybe that's just running rampant through the clubhouse, but awesome to hear.
Well, I don't think it's running rampant. Otherwise, yeah, they might be playing a little bit better. But, look, I'm just saying that this guy has, you know, been kind of killed in this town since he's gotten here because they haven't won games. And some of it could be his, you know.
Mine was
lack
body
of communication.
Language, man.
Yeah, body language, that's fair.
Now, would you admit that that's gotten better?
Not really.
Well, to me it does. And even the Boston thing, and I was going at it with Steiny for On Vacation. He became a Giant. That was material, right?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes and no. No, I mean, seriously, I think he might have turned a page there, kind of closing that door behind him.
Yeah, he don't look so salty, and I'm wondering
they lost the series.
If he's having more success at the plate has something to do with it.
With what?
His body language. Like, he doesn't look salty, you know? He looks like just comfortable, and he's having success at the dish, and I'm wondering if that has something to do with the body language.
Well, I think that Devers has always, even when he was in Boston and on those good Red Sox teams, I always looked at him as like the little brother of that group. Mm. You know, Xander Bogaerts was a veteran in that clubhouse on the infield. Obviously, you had someone like Mookie Betts, who was the star in the face of the Red Sox. There was other talents on that team that helped them win a World Series that he was on in 2018. But now with the Giants, he has to be the man. And I'm not sure he responded well to that when he first got here, or maybe at the beginning of this season. But now there's no pressure on him. So that's why I think he looks settled more than anything, is because all the expectations of him to step in and take this team to the next level, no one expects that anymore. Yeah, at the beginning of the year, I'm not saying you were alone, but like a 90 win or 85 win expectation,
man,
there were people who thought that.
Hey, you won 81 last year.
Yeah, and it's clear that that's not attainable.
And you only had him for what, 91 games?
Yeah, he had 20 home runs. He's basically putting up the same numbers he has this
year. No, but I'm just talking about the calculus that went into, okay, you got him for 162. This lineup, you know, one batter helps the next. You see different pitches. None of that manifested offensively.
Well, offensively, they haven't been horrific. I mean, their pitching staff has completely fallen apart, and now they're all injured. So, yeah, that's why you're throwing guys out there like, who's my guy, Shea Whitcomb, Nate Furman, who's my guy, Turner Hill was hitting cleanup last night. These are all players
like,
that...
Whoa, pops is no of his ass. I'm like, man.
Nobody knows, you know, so against legitimate talent on the other side. I don't know, good. It's just, to me, I think, It might sound crazy to some people. They're like, who cares? But I think Devers he's settling in.
I'll give you that. I'm watching it, and I just now I want him a part of. So what do you do moving forward when you hit the reset button and you go shopping if you're Buster Posey?
Well, I think you imagine next year's lineup as Rafael Devers as your full-time designated hitter.
Eldridge
and Bryce
first.
Eldridge is at first base.
You start there.
Those are the first two things I think you can pencil in for next season.
And Adames is short and Chappie at third.
I am not so sure Adames is
or
on the
Schmidt
team next
third.
Year. If I had my way, Adames would be gone next year. Chapman's an interesting one because when he's healthy, he's still a decent player.
Mm.
But I can't count on him being healthy anymore. I think he's in his mid-30s. So
he tore stuff off the bone, man.
Well, and that's why... Again, if you're turning this team over more towards the younger talent and towards Vitello, I think that there's a place for Devers. I don't think the long term there's a place for Willie Adames and Matt Chapman. Mm. But
we'll see.
That's just me. 888-957-9570 is the number. We also got some updates from training camp I want to get into for the San Francisco 49ers. Dre Greenlaw, George Kittle, both on the side today at the last practice of training camp. Again, they got the Las Vegas Raiders coming up on Thursday, so they're going to head off to Vegas. Also, Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, Dom Pooney, Kyle Juszczyk, Curtis Rourke, among those on the side for the 49ers practice. Also, no sign of Nick Bosa. And I think that's where I want to go next. Like, how big is that for the San Francisco 49ers? How big is Nick Bosa? Or is people just assuming that the best days of him are done? That 97 just can't do it anymore? And the Niners in their defense are going to have to figure out how to operate without a former All-Pro talent. All right, 888-957-9570, again, is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. Hey, I do want to remind you guys, not just the Red and Gold Summit next Thursday, September 3rd, but there also is going to be an opportunity for autographed items in addition to the great food, great drinks, and your chance to meet Brian Baldinger along with all the hosts. It's from 4 to 6 p.m. live from Jackson Pleasant Hill. Again, autographed items also included. So show up. There's great prizes, some great food and great drinks at Jack's in Pleasant Hill from 4 to 6 p.m. Our Red and Gold Summit on Thursday, September 3rd. All brought to you by Ashby Lumber and Humboldt Sawmill Redwood Products.